Oh God, hear our cry, Lord. Hear our echo, Lord. We are so desperate and we are so lost without you. Oh, lead us, guide us, and direct us, Lord. God, Lord, not just on this day, but every day. Not just right here, but everywhere. God, we ask, Lord, that you, Lord, would remind us that every breath that we breathe is a gift from you. Your very presence abides inside of us. And so, God, every breath, not only do we breathe in, but every breath that we breathe out, may it be full of blessing. And Lord, and it may be full of truth and life, Lord, to all those around us. God, that they would taste and see the same living God that is inside of us. God, we love you. We give you praise. We give you glory. For there is no one else we can return it to. Either it's just going to lay on the ground or it's going to corrupt us because we're going to keep it. But God, we know better not to do any of those. So we give it back to you. And we say thank you, God. You are everything that we have ever longed for and so much more. We love you and we give you praise and we give you thanks in the name of Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen and amen. And we serve such an amazing God. Such an amazing God we serve, and that is we open our hearts towards him, and we give him praise, and we give him glory, and that there is no one like him. I'm going to ask the ushers to come forward at this time. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And as they come forward, I just got a couple announcements in your bulletin. Just a reminder that our family night is on. I just encourage you to come and be a part of it. On Wednesday night at 6 o'clock, we join for a meal together. And then afterwards, we break off into a couple studies. We had a couple other things we were trying to get off the ground. They didn't quite get off the ground like we thought they would this round. In that part is again, we're better together. So as we go to the next round, if you have a gift, a talent, or ability, and you're saying, hey, I can help out, please let me know, because come later in May into June, we are going to run another round of our fusion time, and we'd love you to share your gift and talent with us. Amen? And so let's pray and ask God to bless this offering and an opportunity as we give thanks to the God. And that, I don't know about you, but you get a little bit excited because it's time to give to God. Amen? It's time to partner with him as we give him praise. Dave, would you mind leading us in prayer and giving God thanks? Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. In your bulletin, ladies, there's another retreat coming up. This is the ladies' season now as we come into. We've got a retreat coming up with our WOD, our Pentecost Assemblies of Canada, I Will Rise. Information is out in coming up in May, and it's out on the information desk. We have this one that's in your bulletin, Voice of the Martyrs. I cannot give you enough expression in my heart of how powerful and how life-altering this retreat is for the ladies. So if you're interested in being a part of that one, more details to explain it all are on their website. But if you're interested in that, then you can sign up in the front office. I believe my wife is going to that one too. And if you'd like to join her, I just can't stress enough the challenge there. Also, we have another women's day that is coming up with the Alliance Church is putting on with a special guest that's going to come in. It's going to be a wonderful time together, joining with our brothers and sisters of Owen Sound. And so we'll get you more details on that. You'll be seeing that in your bulletin coming up. So I encourage you with that. So in your bulletin is that. There is also a great little devotional about pain and suffering, you know, and just how we're to approach it, how we're to navigate, how we're to move. You know, as a believer in Christ, we can be very immature and say, you know what, I don't think I should ever be in pain, and I think everything should go good, and I think everything should be perfect around my life. But you know what, that's not a very mature look at it. And that Bible says very clearly, Jesus says, you're going to go through trials and troubles of many kinds. You're going to go through pains and hurts and sorrows, but you don't worry, I'll be there with you. I'll carry you. I'll walk with you. I'll lift you. I'll give you everything you need to stand underneath and endure it. Why? Because I want to mature you. And this is part of the process that gets missed in our walk with God, and we wonder why we're not maturing is because we're looking at things from a perspective that is more of bless me, Lord, give me, Lord. And that's like a little baby. A little baby in the world comes in. What do they need? Food? What do they? Wah! Until you give it to them. They need change? Wah! Until they get changed. You know, when they need something, when they want something, they just holler out. But we who are mature, we use our words. Amen? And in that part is the Bible tells us that, you know, once we were a little child and we ate like a child, walked like a child, talked like a child. He says, but I want you to mature. And I want you to mature in your faith. And as we mature in our faith, then we realize, wait a second here. Everything good comes from God. And everything that is around me that happens that I don't like and I don't understand, God says he can turn around for good. And so I'm going to invite him into everything. I'm going to invite him into everything. If that looks like a miracle and healing, so be it. If that looks like his sustaining power and his grace and mercy, oh man, let that come. But our view on life is different. At this time, we're going to dismiss the kids so the kids can meet their teachers in the lobby. And we just encourage you with that. Lots of other announcements in the bulletin, so I encourage you to please grab a hold of it. Don't forget our prayer time tonight. And also, we've got Terrence William that's going to be coming on April the 14th in the morning service. He's going to share. He just wrote a book called Hope and Brokenness. In the midst of brokenness, and he's going to share about that. How do we have hope? It's that James chapter 1 kind of thing. Consider it pure joy when you go through trials and troubles of many kinds. How on earth do we ever have joy in the middle of it? How do you have hope in the middle of brokenness? Well, I'm telling you, you can't unless you fix your eyes onto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith. And he'll remind you, he says, I came, overcame the world. So guess what? You can too. And as we fix our eyes on him, he lifts us up and he leads us into the things that he has. Thank you, Jesus. Just before Tony comes and he's going to share a little bit with us this morning, and we're going to kind of tag team a little bit here, I just want to come back again to the Daniel fast. And that we're in the middle of a Daniel fast. We're almost on our first week. And that today will be the end of our first week. And then we'll start into our next week. We're leading up to Easter. Amen? And that we're leading up towards Easter. Part of our fasting, people are like, what do I eat? What out? Don't eat? Listen to me. You can go on the internet and you can find 50 different lists. I made the list really basic on what we shouldn't eat. Why? Because God put in my heart the scripture coming out of the New Testament. I know he's talking about finance, but it's the heart that matters. He says, determine in your heart what you will do and do that. So in other words, and that for those that are here that maybe because of their diet, because of physical health problems or other different things, they can't fast all food or they can't fast, you know, certain type of things. They need certain things. And that I said, make sure you go talk to your doctor. But everyone can do something. Everyone can do something. I'm sure if you went to your doctor, if you have health issues and said, hey, doctor, and that, is it okay if I fast and stay away from fatty foods, or I fast and stay away from McDonald's or one of those places, or I fast and stay away from lots of sugar, I'm sure the doctor's going to say, well, I don't know. I think you should have all of those things, junk food and everything else. I'm going to fast away from pop. I'm sure the doctor's going to say, no. Everyone needs to drink lots of pop, right? They're not going to say that, right? So there is something that everyone can do. And remember, the idea of a fast, and that is more than just a diet. It's more than just, I want to be healthy, I want to feel better. Listen, the benefits are physical, because you will feel less lethargic. Your body won't feel like it's dragging all the time, right? You'll feel, you got more energy, you'll feel clearer. But how many people here, if you've joined the fast and you're in with us, found it a little bit tough for the first maybe 3 days, 2 days, 4 days, anyone? Right? And that the rest are all lying to me. But that's okay. That's okay. In that part is it's not easy. Why is it not easy? Because everything in your flesh is fighting against it. It's craving. And that's where the Bible talks on another scripture. It says, you know, the lust of the flesh. craves it so much. All these desires and things of the world and everything else. And this is where we discipline ourselves and say, you know what, God? No, I want to desire you more than anything else. My daughter Abby has joined me in the fast, and we're going through. She came home all distraught one day. She says, oh, Daddy, I'm so mad at myself. I said, why? She says, I was good all day, and then I went into my music class, and the teacher gave out suckers, and I had the sucker. Oh, I'm so mad. I said, hey, babe, it's okay. It's okay. Don't worry about it. And then why? Because our heart is in the right place. Don't worry if you trip up and fall. Just get back up again, amen? Jesus already knew that you would do it or I would do it. Yet he bids us. He says, keep coming. Keep coming to me. Keep coming to me. But it's more than just for physical purposes. And I shared before out is Isaiah 58. According to Isaiah 58, fasting is to loose the bonds of wickedness. If my people who are called by my name would humble themselves, turn from there. We don't like that word, do we? But you know what? You and I both have wicked ways inside of us. We don't like that word. We don't even like the word sin. Do we? It's just, no, I make mistakes. I just do a little things that aren't quite, you know. But we don't sin. We don't have wickedness inside of us. Yeah, the Bible says, yeah. And that's why we're fasting, is to break those bonds of wickedness, that attitude. A portion of Scripture says, when you know what you ought to do and you don't do it, that's sin to you. See, every one of us have struggles. Why? Because we're human. We live in this world. I've died to myself. And that every day I'm trying to move in that way. But even Paul says, hey, the things that I don't want to do, I end up doing. The things I want to do, I don't end up doing. There's this battle that's going on. But listen to me. If you just think it's going to get better and just let it be, and oh, well, if I just ignore it, it'll maybe go away. It'll never go away. In fact, it will fester, and it will get harder, and it will get harder, and you will become number to Holy Spirit and who is calling. Oh, he'll never leave you. But instead of you hearing this, you'll hear this. It becomes so faint because we've learned to say more no's than yeses. You reverse the curse by speaking and walking in blessing. You reverse a lie by speaking and walking in truth. It's that easy. You reverse death by walking and speaking life. Amen? And that it's that easy. It's not that difficult. So loose the bonds of wickedness, undo the heavy burdens, to help the oppressed go free, to give bread to the hungry, to receive the light of the revelation of God's word, for emotional and physical health, and for righteousness to break forth. Oh, if there was ever a day that we need men and women of God to rise up and be that man or woman of God, it's today. Just look around our country. Just look around our nation. Look around Ontario. If there was ever a time that we were in desperate need of having men and women rise up and be the man or woman that God's called them to be, it's right now.
Couple weeks ago, while he was doing the chair illustration, which I absolutely love, by the way, and I had mentioned how the Lord had put a message in my heart that would really fit in at this time, particularly speaking about the with the chairs. And so Pastor Phil, not knowing what I had to say, said, well, let's share. So here I am today. To start, what I would like to do is just, everybody's getting nervous now. I want everybody just to mention, or just to think in their mind, maybe you grew up and you said, I really don't like my name. I wish I had a different name. So today I'm giving you that permission today to change your name. So maybe whatever it is, you thought, oh, I think this is a really cool macho name if you're a guy or a woman, whatever. Just think in your mind a name. And that's who you're going to be for a minute. And if you can't think of anybody or a name, just use your middle name. All right? Just tuck that away in the back of your mind. As I just went over in my head the things that the Lord had put in my mind or was just pouring down on me, I just been flooded with a lot of things. So I'm going to try to navigate through this, time permitting. The three chairs aren't here, so maybe I'll use the stools. But the one thing, as Pastor Phil was mentioning, going through the through these chairs, and so the first chair would be the person who knows God and has that passionate desire in their life, and they want to serve God. They deny themselves, and they're just everything. They're doing everything in their power, not perfect, but everything in their power. They're doing everything they can to serve God and just try to walk that narrow path that He's called us to. And then the person in the second chair would become, you know, they're more complacent and like, if I feel like it kind of thing. They still love God and they still believe God and Jesus is who He says He is. And then the third chair being somebody who just, that third generation, is just somebody who just doesn't know who God is really. So as I was thinking, as I was searching and just seeking God's heart through this whole time, there was just some things that God had put on my heart. And so for the sake of the illustration, what I want to do is I just want to change it a little bit. And I want to take this second chair, and I want to actually imagine that if it's like a, more like a love seat, if you will. And on this end of the love seat, there's actually a fence. And on the end of this love seat, there's a fence as well. The reason why I feel in my heart that it should be, it's more like a love seat, is simply this. There's room to move. There's, and at this end, I believe there's people that are saved by the skin of their teeth, honestly. You're lucky you're getting in the door, and that's just plain and simple. People on this end of the chair, they really want to sit in that chair, but they might be a little bit scared, maybe. Maybe God might ask us to do something, you know, that we're not comfortable doing. And honestly, that's what this chair is all about, is comfort. It's about being comfortable. And see, that's the problem, is when we become Christians, we were never called to comfort. The Bible says, Jesus says that when I go, I will send another, and His name is the Comforter. So if we're sitting here and we're nice and comfortable, it's really hard for Holy Spirit, who the Comforter is, to do anything in our life. He really wants to. And if I can use an example that would work well with the fast that we're doing right now. If you're here today and you said that, you know, and Pastor Phil has left this thing wide open. You can give it all. You can do the 21 days, or you can find something in your life that you can give up. But if you're here today and you have said in your heart, there's no way I'm doing this, you're probably comfortable. It's probably the one, it might not be the only reason. You could be sitting in that chair and not want to do it as well. But that's what I just feel that the Lord is putting on my heart, that it was, we can't be a people that are relying on our comfort all the time, because you have to be in this chair, you actually have to have a desire to be uncomfortable. If that really, it doesn't make any sense logically. As just humans, we don't want to be uncomfortable in anything we do. We want to, I'm a person of habit, I'm a creature of habit, and my wife will tell you that. I want to wake up in the morning, I want to do my routine, I want my routine to be the same all day long, and at the end of the night, because it's easy. It's a lot easier to live your life like that when there's no surprises, you're not sidetracked. But the closer I get to God, I realize that that's just not logical in the kingdom of heaven. It just will not work. God doesn't care how comfortable you are. And He doesn't even really care about what you can do for Him. Oh, James says that our faith is dead without works, meaning that obviously if we really have a commitment to Jesus, then our outward expression will dictate just how much what we really believe and to what level. God doesn't really so much care about what you can do for him. He wants you just to be obedient. He doesn't want you to be comfortable. He wants you to be obedient. And sometimes what I've learned in my own personal walk with God is that the biggest thing right here, there's, like I said before, there's a fence. And I'll explain why I call it a fence in a minute. The fence is actually a representation of deception. A lot of times we put a lot of the blame on the enemy, saying that, oh, you know, he's a deceiver. And don't get me wrong, the Bible says so, and that's true. But you know what? We do a really good job at telling ourselves lies, deceiving ourselves. And this fence, I find, we deceive ourselves a lot here because this fence is primarily made up of excuses. And I know in my own personal walk, one of the things that really changed how close I got to God was stop making up excuses. Stop actually believing. Because we can really, really rationalize why we don't want to do anything. And that's just the truth. And that's a human condition, and everybody in here has gone through it. I don't care who you are. If you say you haven't, then you're doing better than I am. But the truth of the matter is that if we give in to those lies and those deceptions, we'll never be able to walk in the fullness of God. He whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And we sang about that, and it's an amazing truth. The people here sit and go, yeah, God set me free from sin. And that's true. It's only the beginning. Because when you walk across and you go to sit in this chair, now God sets me free from myself. He sets me free from you. I'm no longer okay by how you see me. I'm okay because he's my Father. And that's all that matters. You see, there's a difference. It's not these chairs. I think it's a beautiful description in a way that a lot of times, you know, and it wasn't the purpose of the illustration Pastor Phil did. However, these chairs are also a representation of Christians, how we actually take our walk, no matter what level we sit at, because chairs are comfortable, and we sit here, and we got here, and we arrived, and I don't have to do anything. That's not the way the gospel works. The gospel is living and active, and so our faith has to be living and active, and that's why without works it is dead. But we deceive ourselves. This fence is deception too, which can be of yourself, but I primarily think a lot of it is of the enemy. And as we know, the two chairs represent some type of knowledge or relationship with God, and the second one represents no understanding, no relationship, no care or concern. The fence, to me, is the Matthew 7:21 fence. Jesus says, "Not everybody who says, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven." So if these people knew God and they have this passionate relationship, and these people know God and they from specifically a lot from what they've heard and seen, and but they're just kind of, but they got these people, they're sitting on a fence. They think they're saved, but they're not. They say, "Lord, Lord." So there's an indication in the scripture of Jesus. He's not just saying, they don't just say, "Lord," they say, "Lord, Lord." There's like this indication of there's this deceptive passion in their life. They think they know him. They're calling out, "Lord, Lord," but yet their heart is not surrendered to him. And we see it again in Matthew 25, the parable of the 10 virgins. And I find it interesting how the parable, there's five wise virgins and five foolish virgins. I find it very interesting how there are five wise virgins and five foolish virgins. It's not five foolish harlots, per se. They're all seen as virgins. So it's interesting how there's just, right off the bat, there's this deception where they think, "Hey, I'm in. But if we read the parable, it goes on to say that they didn't have their lanterns, their lamps trimmed with oil. And they want to buy oil, and the wise virgins, they won't give any to them. They say, "No way, you go buy your own." In the meantime, the wise ones were ushered into the wedding banquet. The foolish ones came back. And the bridegroom says, when they knock on the door, they say, "Lord, Lord." And what's his response? "Truly, I don't know you. Who are you?" So I just feel the Lord say, I don't know how long, I don't know everybody's place here, whatever, where everybody is along this. But I just feel what God has on my heart to say today. Part of it is, don't be deceived. Don't think that, you know, that you might be. The question is, are you saved? Are you sitting on the fence, and have you just allowed your heart to grow cold? And it's like, well, I think I believe Jesus is the Son of God. John 3:16, and I'll tell you, I believe John 3:16 is the most misunderstood scripture in the Bible, because it will be probably the most well-known scripture in the Bible. But it says that whoever believes in him, don't just read that scripture and go, "I believe." Because I'm going to tell you right now, I believed all my life that Jesus was who he says he was up here. I didn't allow it to sink deep into my heart. And so now the people that sit here, they're like, "Well, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God." But they're deceiving themselves. The devil, "Oh, that's enough. You know. But you see, we're not changed. We're not changed. The true sign of a believer will be that fruit that I talked about a while ago. A true sign will be a change. And for some, it might be slow. And for some, people might just jump right into that first chair. And some might go here and gradually move. Don't deceive yourself. Don't let us come into that place. I worked with a guy once. And he was just a regular Joe. Great guy. But he was just like everybody else, you know, the way most men are. He would tell jokes that were inappropriate and curse and swear and do all these things. Great guy, though. Like, he had a... But then I found out, we got talking one day, and I found out that him and his wife were actually the leaders of the youth at their church that they went to. And I was like, what? I couldn't believe this. And so anyhow, through all this, God orchestrated a time that I was able to actually drive the guy home and have a conversation with him. I challenged him. I'm like, "Man, what are you doing?" And I just felt like the Lord said, you know, the scripture out of Revelation, you know, "I wish you were hot or you were cold, but because you're lukewarm, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth." There really is a responsibility we have as Christians to Our mandate is to, A, love the Lord our God with everything that's inside of us, and then love our neighbor as ourself. And if we do those two things, these first two chairs, they'll just disappear, and this is where we'll land, is on that last chair, because when you draw close to God, you have no other place to be but in that place where you want nothing more than to see him glorified. So now, going back to that name, I'm going to read from John chapter 13, starting at verse 6. John 13, starting at verse 6. And everybody knows this scripture very well. "And then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, 'Lord, you're washing my feet?' And Jesus answered and said to him, 'What I am doing, you do not understand now, but you will know after this.' Peter said to him, 'You shall never wash my feet.' Jesus answered him, 'If I do not wash, you have no part with me.' Simon Peter said to him, 'Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head.'" As I was reading this, something became apparent to me, and I'm like, "God, what's going on here?" And I don't know if we pick up on it, but I'm like, did you not change Peter's name from Simon to Peter? So why are you referencing him as Simon Peter now? And then it's Peter, and then it's Simon Peter, and Peter, and I just felt Holy Spirit say, it's a representation of a battle going on in flesh and spirit. See, Jesus earlier went and said to Peter, he says, "You know what? Your name's Peter now, and on this rock I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell, it ain't going to prevail." But here what we see is there's like a representation of a battle of spirit flesh. Peter doesn't quite know what's going on, and nobody would ever in their right mind think that Peter was doing something that wasn't honorable. Peter was, this is Jesus we're talking about. Peter has already come to the revelation that, you know what, this guy, he's the Christ. And man, there's no way that I want this guy to wash my feet. This is ludicrous. And nobody would ever think anything different of him or badmouth him or belittle any of his ideas. But yet Jesus steps up and says, whoa, you're getting into the way of what I want to do and teach. And see, we do that a lot as Christians, that we pick up these things and fights that we want. Tradition is primarily the biggest thing that we pick up and say, no, this is the way it's been for years and this is the way it's always been. But yet Holy Spirit is doing something and saying, whoa, wait a minute. I'm going to do something here, and if you don't want to get on board, then you're going to miss it all. And finally, and luckily, Peter came to his senses and says, not just my hand or my feet, but everything. Just pour the water over top of me. But as I see that, I see the correlation to these chairs, because this is where Simon Peter sits. Simon Peter doesn't always necessarily understand it, and because he doesn't understand it, he's pushing back against it. He doesn't want no part of it because it doesn't make any sense to him. Simon Peter is still kind of, I want to follow God and I want to be part of what the Lord wants, but I really want to kind of rationalize everything too all the time and think that, you know, just makes sense, because logically that's what we want to do. But Peter sits over here because now, you know what, I've had a revelation in my life and you're the Christ, and I, it's no longer me that lives, but Christ that lives in me. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. And whatever your will is, God, that's all I want in my life. But you see, there's a battle. There always will be a battle between spirit and flesh. Always. And if I'm quite honest with you, one of the greatest things that scares me is the fact that God knows everything. He knows what I'm going to do next week. He knows what I'm going to do this afternoon. He knows what I'm going to mess up. Scares me a lot. Because it's like, we deceive ourselves, like I said, but we can't deceive him. I can say I sit in this chair. I can say I sit in this chair. He knows what chair I sit in. I can't deceive him. That scares me. That's why I try to live my life that I don't deceive myself. Because ultimately, he has the last and final say. On the other side, the very thing that scares me is what brings me hope and delight, knowing that even though he knows what I'm going to do tomorrow, he still loves me. He still chooses to use me, to bless me, and call me his son. And it's something I can't wrap my head around, and neither should you be able to. It's just an amazing thing that we have ability to partake in. If we skip down to verse 13, it says, you call me teacher and Lord, and you say well, for so I am. If then your Lord and teacher have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. Now, do you see what Jesus did there and how it fits in here? Jesus says to them, you call me teacher and Lord. And you say, well, but now you're Lord and teacher. If Jesus isn't Lord of your life, he's just a really good teacher. He could be probably considered crazy. By some standards, I'm sure most people, a lot of people in the world think that. But outside of lordship, his teachings they might get you through a day, or they might make you feel good, or, yeah, that's a real good idea, Jesus. But they don't have any value because they don't come from here to your heart. If he's not Lord, it's really, really, really hard for Jesus' teaching to sink into your heart and be allowed to change you. And that's what Jesus is doing here. He's saying, look, you call me teacher and Lord, but I'm telling you now, I have got to be Lord first and teacher second. When he's Lord, then all of a sudden, these ideas, these teachings Jesus had, they go, well, yeah, that makes sense. They become like a revelation in your mind, in your heart, and it sinks in, and now I'm allowed to change and be molded. But if Jesus is just a teacher, yeah, he's a good teacher, it's like that, amen, brother. Yeah, Pastor Phil, that's a good one. Yeah, amen to that. And then we go the next day and have ability to apply it, and we don't, because we're comfortable. There's been a lot of good teachers in this world that have had a lot of good things to say, and a lot of them make a lot of sense. But Jesus is the only one that is the way to heaven. He is more than a teacher. He is Lord and Lord of all. He's King of kings. And there is by no other name on earth men can be saved. And we know that. So that's what separates him from all the philosophers on this earth. He is Lord. Whether you make him Lord of your life or not, it doesn't change the fact he still is Lord. So my challenge today is simply this. The name that I asked you. Just pretend today that, you know, that's him. There's a new name written down in glory and it's mine. Just pretend today that it's not just the fact that your name has been written down as a new name, but there actually is a new name written down in glory that is labeled to you, labeled to your heart, and God calls you by it. So the challenge I've had in my heart is what does he call you today? Are you Simon? Are you Simon Peter? Or are you Peter? No greater love has a man than this, that he would lay down his life for his friends. And Jesus not only prophesied what he was going to do for his friends, us, but it was also a challenge. It was also him saying to us, if you really truly love me, you will lay down your life for me. And that's what that first chair represents. How much of your life are you going to lay down for him today?
Thank you, Tony. The challenge for us to think about. You know, there's this battle, this wrestling of the flesh and the spirit, the Bible tells us all the time. But then we're reminded, greater is he that is in me. We're reminded, no weapon formed against. But we got to believe it, and we got to step in it. We got to come in agreement to it. So if you're here today, maybe you're in a place that, you know, you heard about religious things, but you never really heard about a relationship with Jesus, and you're wrestling. Or maybe you're in this second place love seat chair, and that this second place where you're wrestling with calling him Lord first instead of teacher first. You're wrestling with, but what if I let go? What if I allow him? What if I dare to try again? Maybe you're here today and you've served the Lord most of your life. You've loved him. You've seen great things. But you've become complacent. And if you did a scale of 1 to 10, not on how good you are, but where are you today compared to a year ago? 5 years ago, if on that scale you're not kind of inching or bumping a little bit ahead, then you need to pause and say, wait a minute, I might be a bit complacent. If at some point in your life you were at 7, And now, if you're really honest with yourself, you're at a 2 or a 3. You're still on the scale. You still love him. Then there's something there that you need to ask the Lord. So I finish and we close, and as we pray, I want to challenge you with this thing. You're wrestling right now, but don't let go. Don't quit in that wrestle. Jacob wrestled with God all day, all night. He just wrestled with him. He was not going to let him go. He said, I'm not letting you go until you touch me, till you bless me, until something changes. I am so desperate. I can't stay in the position that I am in any longer. I'm wrestling right now, and I'm not letting you go. And I'm going to challenge and encourage you today. Just don't let go. Keep wrestling. Keep wrestling. Keep pressing in. God, I need to know, are you real? Are you not? Don't get distracted by someone to your right or left, because you might look at them and say, wow, I really see God. Yeah, he's real. That's good. But you might look to someone else and say, oh my Lord, they teach, they're the youth leaders and all of this? Are you kidding me? And then we can justify everything away. Fix your eyes on him. Wrestle with God. And at the end of it, just like Jacob, he will change your name. He will touch you in a way that you'll never walk the same again. God loves you so much. And whether you're in the first, second, or third chair is irrelevant. He loves you so much. And he's just saying, listen, don't throw in that white towel and call yourself out. Keep pressing, keep wrestling. Even if you find yourself only taking a little bit of inching forward, it doesn't matter. Keep pressing in. Keep wrestling with God and allowing him to reveal himself to you, because God's not done with you yet. Thank God he's not done with me yet either. But from glory to glory, we are going to be revealed, we're going to grow, and we're going to develop. So don't throw the towel in, don't quit, and don't give up. But keep pressing in. Just stop wrestling with yourself, because it's a never-ending routine. Stop wrestling with other people, trying to justify, or wrestling with religion, because that'll just cause a stinky smell. But wrestle with God. Wrestle with God. Grab a hold of him. Grab a hold of his word. Wrestle with him. Like Jeff shared last week when he was leading worship, he said, listen, I shared with my friend who's reading the Quran, and he's searching for something bigger. Something's got to be more. And he's searching around. He says, okay, yeah, read it. But every chapter you read there, read a chapter of the Bible. Wrestle with God. Realize who's really God and what he's doing and what he's got for you. Wrestle with him and allow him to reveal himself to you. Jesus is so much wanting to show you how much he loves you, and show you the way, and show you the truth, and show you the life. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to say thank you right now. I thank you, God, Lord, you so long for us to come close to you. God, Lord, I thank you right now, God, Lord. God, no matter where we find ourselves today, no matter what's going on in our lives, God, Lord, you're forever wanting to encourage us and to spur us on and to move us forward and to lift us up and to carry us and reveal yourself to us, God. And so, Lord, I pray you would open our eyes. Take the scales off and let us see, Lord. Let's truly see how you see. Let us hear you. You said your sheep know your voice, but so many of us are saying, I haven't heard God for a long time. I don't even know what he sounds like. God, Lord, I pray that you'd open our ears. Open our ears that we might hear him once again. Lord, the ears of our heart, Lord, that would sense his presence, Lord. And we wouldn't just go week after week, day after day, moment after moment, time after time, not even sensing you. Yet other people around us say, whoa, God was so real. Oh, man, God did this. And we're just like, are you kidding me? I didn't sense anything. Oh, Lord, soften our hearts again. That hardness, Lord, that has come in, Lord. The numbness that has taken place. Lord, every neuron and fiber, every nerve, would it just come to life again? Breathe life into us, Lord. that we would sense you. Lord, we would understand, Lord, that you are so for us and not against us. So, Lord, I pray if there's anyone in the sound of my voice today that does not know you, maybe about you, but doesn't know you, today's their day. Wrestle with him. Open your heart to him. And that start the adventure, start the quest, start the journey to get to know him and to get to know who you are in him. Jesus, I just thank you for what you're doing. I thank you that you love us so much, and I thank you for what you have in store. So reveal yourself to us, Lord. And God, as we come back tonight, Lord, as a time of personal prayer together and learning and growing and developing on our gifts together, Lord, tonight, I pray, God, once again, you would reveal yourself, Lord, to each and every one that comes. And so, Lord, we give you praise, we give you glory and honor. It is good to be in the house of the Lord. And we thank you for this honor and privilege it is to be here today. And Lord, I give you thanks for all that you have done and all you're about to do in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. If you're here today and you're making a shift in your heart, you've just said, hey, I want to make that shift out of the first, out of the third to second, or second to first, I encourage you to come and talk to me. I'll hang right here for a while. I'd love to pray with you. Tony would love to pray with you. Some other people would love to pray with you and just seal in what God is doing. Amen? So God bless you. We love you lots, and we'll see you tonight at 6:30 as we come back together for prayer.